evening, folks. I'm reading tonight from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. Jeremiah, chapter 35. I'd like to read the entire chapter in your hearing and then share a few thoughts with you tonight as the Lord would be pleased to help me. Good to be in prayer meeting tonight. And I'm looking for God to help me as I try to preach, and through the preaching to help you. Jeremiah chapter number 35. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Abazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. And they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts and done according unto all that he has commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. And somewhere in the world tonight is at least one descendant of this man Jonadab who is walking with the Lord God and is seeking to be a witness for the Savior, according to that last verse that I read in your hearing. Now let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us as we look into His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word. Truly Thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Enlighten us, we pray. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be what we ought to be and must be if we are to honor Thee in these days and be a good witness for Thee. Bless this reading of the Word to our hearts. And help me now, in that measure that would be pleasing to Thee, to give the message that You put on my heart. And I make this petition in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while, the Lord helping me, from this thought, the Rechabites, a lesson in faithfulness. The Rechabites, a lesson in faithfulness. The story that I read in your hearing happened just prior to the carrying away into captivity of the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin by the Chaldean army. Jeremiah, the man of God, raised up by God in difficult days to prophesy, has a visual aid given him. God said, Jeremiah, you're preaching to people who attend all the temple worship services. They go through the form, but their heart is far from me. He said, they are not about to obey me. He said, you go get the Rechabites. You bring them into the house of God, set pots of wine before them, give them cups, and tell them to drink. And Jeremiah did so. And he found out that those Rechabites would not drink wine because some few hundred years before this time, back in the days of Ahab and his son, back in those days, Jonadab, their forefather, had lived, and he commanded his household and his descendants after him not to drink wine. And in obedience to their forefather, Jonadab, none of the Rechabites drank wine, nor did they live in houses, own fields, or plant vineyards. For all of those years, up to Jeremiah's time, because they honored their father Jonadab, they sought to obey his commandments and refused to drink wine because of a commandment of that father, Jonadab. And the Bible says here in verse 12 in the reading, that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after this episode, and he said, Jeremiah, compare the Rechabites to my people. They obey to the letter the commandment of their father Jonadab. But my people, no matter how much I talk to them, and no matter how many prophets I send their way, yet they refuse to obey me. And because they refuse to obey me, they will be carried away into captivity. Judgment is coming. Earlier in chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah, we find these words, 2 verse 5, Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Verse 13 says, For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Back in chapter 18 of this book, verse 11 and 12, God speaks to Jeremiah and says, Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you. Return you now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Now they refused to do what God said. Jeremiah was given a wonderful illustration of how a man by the name of Jonadab rightly recognized the spiritual condition in the land of Israel in his day. And I say to you, from the days of Jonadab to the days of Jeremiah, the condition had not gotten better, but it worsened. And because of the spiritual condition in the land in the days of Jonadab, Jonadab said, Listen, I want you Rechabites to stem the tide of license and luxury among the professed people of God. I want you to declare your pilgrim character. Drink no wine. Build no houses. Own no fields. Plant no vineyards. It's an ungodly age. Lift up a solemn protest against it. And I say to you, if I know anything about the spiritual climate in this hour, the professed people of God have turned the liberty of the grace of God into a license to sin, disregarding the plain teachings of the written Word of God. If I know anything about the spiritual climate in this hour, professing Christians and people of God are living in the lap of luxury. I think there are three things in this chapter that it would do us well to meditate on. I'll offer them to you. Write them down, I hope you will, and consider them as you meditate on this chapter in your own spare time. First of all, we see in this chapter a close adherence to the Word. Verse 8, the Rechabites speaking to Jeremiah, Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us. They said, We have closely adhered to the commands, the directives, the dictates, the commandment of our father Jonadab. And I say to you, here is something that every child of God ought to emulate. Everything that God says, we ought to yield glad-hearted obedience to it. We ought not quibble about it. We ought not try to find some way to get around it, to reinterpret it, to make it say something that it's not saying, to soften it, but to believe and obey what thus saith the Lord is written to you and me in the Bible. Now I want to read some verses, a number of them, from the 119th Psalm. Verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I like that expression, don't you? I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. 102, I have not departed from thy judgments. 106, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. 112, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. 115, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. 117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. 134, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. 157, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. 167, My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Are you getting the idea? Written by David, the 119th Psalm, a man after God's own heart, the longest chapter in the Bible, is telling us there was a man named David, and he purposed and he prayed. He purposed to keep the commandments of God, and he prayed that God would help him to do all of his righteous judgments. I say to you that David was a kindred spirit with these Rechabites, a man who believed in a close adherence to all the Word of the living God. I say to you in this hour that there are many people who attend churches and they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but they're not interested in keeping all the commandments of the God that they profess to love. Listen to John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus speaking, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Verse 24, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." I say to you tonight that the Rechabites reverenced the memory of that man Jonadab. They loved him, though these that Jeremiah talked to had never met him in flesh. And they proved that they reverenced him and loved him because they kept to the letter every commandment that he had charged his family and descendants with. And you and I are deceiving ourselves tonight if we're not seeking to obey the Lord. We're deceiving ourselves if we think we love the Lord and we will not obey Him. Remember now, in Jeremiah's day, they were faithfully attending all the temple ritual. They were praying the prayers. They were bringing the tithe and the offering in. With their mouth, they were showing much love. But their heart was going after their covetousness. And I say to you again, if I know anything about the spiritual climate of this hour in which we live, we're living in similar days to Jeremiah. And you and I, if we are not careful, we'll play fast and loose with the Word of God. God expects, and rightly so, He being who He is and we being who we are, He expects from us absolute obedience to every directive and demand we find in the Word of God. And so I find here something for us to meditate on. A close adherence to the Word. Am I like David? Are those verses that I read in your hearing, are they the attitude and the spirit of my heart and soul? Do I want to and love to and desire more than anything else to do the will of God and please Him? I say to you, it makes a world of difference between those who are just religious and those who are truly walking with the Lord. Secondly, we find in this portion of Scripture, Jeremiah 35, not only a close adherence to the Word, but a complete abstinence from wine. Verse number 6, "And they said, we will drink no wine."
For Jonadab told us, don't drink wine. Now, I'm not necessarily interested tonight in preaching to you about total abstinence. Any man or woman would be a fool to put something in their mouth that would steal their brains away, don't you think? Anybody with common sense ought to know you shouldn't drink liquor. And so I'm not preaching to you about total abstinence. You ought to practice that. But I'm looking at a spiritual truth here in this complete abstinence from wine. Psalm 104 verse 15 says this, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man." Psalm 4 verse 6 and 7 says, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." And then the psalmist said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." He said, "I found something in God that brought more joy to me than anything this world can offer." You see, wine in the Bible is symbolic of earthly joy. You give strong drink to him that's ready to perish, the wise man said in the book of Proverbs, and wine to them that be of heavy heart. Wine, spiritually, symbolizes earthly joy. And you know, I'm noticing more and more as I move up toward 26 years of preaching that fewer and fewer are able to rejoice just in the Word of God. Now, if you'll give an illustration to make people laugh or to make people cry, they're pretty much all ears. But if you give them a heavy dose of Scripture, like I'm trying to give you tonight, it seems that folks, by and large, in our day, just don't find much joy in Scripture. They can find joy in earthly things, and that's where they go to get their joy and have their good time. But folks don't find a good time in the house of God reading the Scripture, listening to it quoted, listening to it preached, meeting and praying and laying hold of God. The Lord Jesus warned His disciples, and in that warning warned us in Luke 21:34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Moses found something in God that made him deny Egypt and all the pleasures that Egypt had to offer. I say to you, we're not to be drunk with the wine of this world, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. It's as if Jonadab told his descendants, take upon you the vow of the Nazarite. Numbers chapter 6, you can read about the Nazarite vow. When a man separated himself wholly to God, there were some things that he could not do, and one of them was eat grapes or anything that came of the vine tree or to drink wine. He's defined all his springs, as it were. Everything he needs in God. You see, we're trying to witness to this generation, and we're telling them that God is all they need. that he is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then they watch you and me and they find that most of our enjoyment and the things that please us and make us laugh and as it were satisfy us temporarily are found in this world and what it has to offer. Jonadab said, "Oh, the days I'm living in are difficult days." And you can read about him in 2 Kings 10. He joined with Jehu in wiping out Baal worship in Israel. He was a zealous reformer against idolatry, this man Jonadab. And he said, "Listen, we need to keep our wits about us in these days. These are difficult days, dark days, dismal days for the true believer. And if there's ever been a time when the people of God ought to obey God, he said it's in this hour. If there's ever been a time when they ought to be otherworldly and abstain from anything that would take away their heart for God and the things of God, it's this hour." And he said, "Listen, family, you don't drink wine." And something about how he said it, and something about the respect they had for him, they put away their wine and charged every one of their descendants. And hundreds of years later, it was ingrained into them. Oh, you know, somehow or another, I, as a preacher, and I, as a child of God, hearing men preach, need to be reminded, and I need to remind people, that these are desperate days. Let me go on to my third point. I've got something I want to say, and I want you to notice the third point. Verse 7, and then verse 9 and 10, we see a careful avoidance of worldliness. I said, first of all, there was a close adherence to the Word. Secondly, a complete abstinence from wine. Now this third point, a careful avoidance of worldliness. Verse 7, neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. Verse 9, they're speaking, nor to build house for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we've dwelt in tents. They said the only reason we're in Jerusalem living in houses now is because of the Chaldean army. And when they're out of the way, we're headed back to the tent life. The tent life. A careful avoidance of worldliness. They used to sing that old song, Brother Everett, out there at Victory when I first got right with God. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can't remember the last time I heard that song. We don't sing that anymore. The influence of affluence. Did you hear me? The influence of affluence. We live in an affluent society. Some of you young ladies that went to Mexico and Venezuela, you know what I'm talking about. Everything that you and I have falls into one of three categories. Necessities, conveniences, luxuries. Now we all need necessities. Food and shelter. And because of the lifestyle we live here in America, we have many conveniences. And there's not too much wrong with that, really. but luxury. That's where we are. We have luxuries and we think they are necessities. Amos said they lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant. They make to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls. They anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They have no burden for other people. There's something about us. We can stand most anything but prosperity. And Jonadab knew if his descendants were going to be what God meant for them to be and what they must be, they must discipline themselves and say no to luxuries. I'm wondering if I'm a Rechabite. I'm wondering if I'm preaching to any who'll deny themselves the luxuries to help others who don't even have necessities, to get the gospel of those who've never heard. You know what we do? We pat each other on the back. When someone gets a new car, we tell them how nice it looks. If they get a better house to live in, we tell them how they're blessed of God. We must be totally ignorant of Scripture and of the situation in this hour. You know, I'd like for God to use me before I leave this world. And I know we got two pastors here that won't allow us to come and stand before Him and then go represent Him, disregarding plain directives, hobnobbing and fornicating with the world and finding our pleasure and satisfaction there, reclining in the lap of luxury, when He whom we say we follow said He didn't have where to lay His head. Oh, I don't know about you. But I preach myself under conviction. It's pretty straightforward and pretty rough, but I say to most of the unsaved, by and large, we're just a joke. We say that we love the Lord and we can't wait to get to heaven. And some little something comes along and we do everything we can to hang on here. Instead of telling others, get ready to go, you're going to be following me pretty soon. Get ready to go, get ready to go, get ready to go. We're here to go, we're not here to stay. That's why I've been living a tent life, you see. When you come to the end of the way, you live that tent life and you say to all around, you better get ready to go. There's coming a day when you'll have to strike your tent and make the crossing.
were faithful in the least would be faithful in much. That's what the scripture said, Luke 16:10. We're going to stand before the Lord one day, you and me, and the only thing we're going to hear if we did what we were supposed to is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God said, because they've honored their earthly father, they'll not want a man to stand before me. Welcome in my presence and blessed of me and used by me. If God put such blessing upon obedience and faithfulness to an earthly father, how much more does He have waiting for you and me who will seek to walk as close to Him as we can, find all of our joy in Him, and live like strangers and pilgrims. Lord, help me. And Lord, help you. Oh, that God. You know, I got up here tonight filled with unbelief. I said, Lord, you give me this message for a Wednesday night crowd. I said, at least the Wednesday night crowd would probably receive it more than a Sunday morning glory crowd. But then I thought to myself, but I don't know if much of this Wednesday night crowd really want what I got to say tonight. But then I thought to myself, our God is able to work mightily in me and in you above all that we ask or think. And I'm praying that He will. For our good, for His glory, and for the salvation of many precious souls for whom the Lord died. Let's bow our heads for prayer.